Let us pray. God, we are desperate this morning to hear your voice amidst the noise. So would you speak to us this morning? Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is Deuteronomy 24, 10 through 15. It's on page 179 in your pew Bible. When you make your neighbor a loan of any kind, you shall not go into the house to take the pledge. You shall wait outside while the person to whom you are making the loan brings the pledge out to you. If the person is poor, you shall not sleep in the garment given you as the pledge. You shall give the pledge back by sunset so that your neighbor may sleep in the cloak and bless you, and it will be to your credit before the Lord your God. You shall not withhold the wages of poor and needy laborers, whether other Israelites or aliens who reside in your land and in one of your towns. You shall pay them their wages daily before sunset, because they are poor and their livelihood depends on them. Otherwise, they might cry to the Lord against you, and you would incur guilt. This is the word of the Lord.
And before I go on, it's important, that is from the Hebrew law. That is the law of, required of people to take care of the laborers, take care of the poor, to pay what is due, and to not incur guilt. So remember that in the frame, because that's very important to the gospel reading we're about to hear. That is from the Hebrew law. So now we move ahead to the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus teaches from Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. And this is a parable. This is the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. One of my favorite parables, one of the most interesting, and I love the turn at the end of how it goes. So let's hear the story. Matthew 21 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. He said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired at about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." Hopefully they wore sunscreen. But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Let us pray. Lord, shine your light through this text, the light of mercy, grace, and love. Your generosity and abundance rings clear as we hear your words. Lord, may we know it, receive it, and bless others with that same grace ourselves. The grass withers and the flower fades, but your word stands forever. Amen. Now, of course, there are plenty of simple ways to avoid these difficult conversations, right? First, you standardize the working hours. You require a minimum amount of time on the job before compensation. Probationary periods are put in place. Pay everybody every month or every 2 weeks. Be less transparent about the differences in pay rate. This is how you solve this problem. And of course, that's how we've modernized our workforce and deal with human resources issues here and now. We've got this all figured out, don't we? And all the workers are happy, and everything is fair. Except it's not. How about we look at this from the eyes of the laborer? Of course, we understand their outcry. Wait a minute, I worked hard all day long, and this freeloader shows up at the end and makes the same wage as me? No, not fair, not right. Not only have I worked here longer, I have more expertise and training. I was out in Whatcom County a bit this past week and saw some of the berry pickers moving slowly through the raspberry fields. I actually got into a conversation with my nephew, Aiden, about the different jobs on the raspberry farm. He worked in the raspberries last year, and I think about how this story would hit from his perspective, from the perspective of the pickers. Some folks are trained to operate larger machines. Some are senior because of age or experience. And those jobs are compensated differently than the entry-level worker. So we understand the complaint of these laborers. So we've got the perspective of the economy, standardizing the labor force. We've also got this perspective of the laborers, pay us fairly. Then I want to look at the perspective of the landowner. He agrees with the first laborers on the daily wage. Not a problem. But then he goes out looking for more help. There's plenty of work to do, plenty of opportunity to go around, and more join. Now, from the perspective of the landowner, he's having a good day. He's filling out his labor force. He's getting things done. People are getting involved and working hard. Again, from the perspective of many of our local farmers and probably the owners of those farms, this is a very stressful, busy season. We will take all the good help we can get. It's noon. All right, we'll get on out there. It's 5. We'll get on out there. You can help with the cleanup. Everybody has a part to play. So when he's accused of shortchanging the earliest workers, he seems taken aback. His words again, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I was generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The landowner can do with what he has what he pleases. But of course, that's not how we do things. Instead, and certainly this is a stereotype and not always the case, but instead, often the landowner or the business CEO wants to maximize profit, get a good return on their investment, and save enough for the next harvest. That's how things are done. So you don't pay a wild hourly rate to the ones who worked at the end. Again, you set standards and you protect your wealth. But that's not what the landowner does. And that's not what the kingdom of God is like. Remember at the outset of Jesus' parable, he makes it plain that this vineyard, this land, these laborers are participating in a different kind of economy altogether. This is the kingdom of God. This is not free market capitalism. Hear that again. This is the kingdom of God, not capitalism. And we could stand up and make many eloquent arguments about why Christianity and capitalism work together. And we could explore the separation of church and business, private interests, public good, yada, yada, yada. You see, we are trained in our society and by our economic system to hear this parable and totally connect with the complaints of the workers. And so would have the hearers of the parable as they sat with Jesus. A quick aside that I think is helpful in understanding this parable. One interpretation is that the laborers who come throughout the day are somehow examples of levels of faithfulness. Perhaps you are a long-standing observant Jew, and you heard this story, and you heard about this new sect of the Jesus way. You might be a little bit perturbed. Hey, we were here first. Remember, Jesus' disciples would have been considered Jews, a new community spawned out of existing synagogues and other communities of faith. So adding more laborers to the field could perhaps mean that your long-standing commitment is somehow watered down. And certainly, we're witnessing yet another version of an example of this reality when we think about our current issues around immigration and who belongs in our communities. Wow, they're going to take our jobs. There's not enough to go around. Both of these are examples of a scarcity market and a scarcity mindset. There's not enough to go around. I've shared with you that I chose these texts for the month of June and July because I wanted to focus on economics, abundance, and recognizing that we have all that we need. A world of scarcity warns us to protect what we have. Don't get taken advantage of, and certainly don't give away more than you need to. Last week, I talked a little bit about some of the challenges our church is facing in terms of our revenue. Expenses continue to rise, and our monthly income is lagging behind, so we're diminishing some of our cash on hand faster than we can replenish it. We need to increase our revenue. And we are asking that each member in this church consider how you can respond with generosity, both now and in sustaining ways going forward. I talked with a couple of folks after service last week, and there were voices who were raised that said they were concerned, saying, I'm doing all that I can. I wish I could offer more. And I feel that concern. And deeply care about those desires to help as we are able. But I see that feeling and that concern as such an opportunity to preach the good news of Jesus as he does in this parable. To each person, according to their means and their ability, Jesus is teaching us this: you are good enough. Well done. What you offer is good, however small and however grand. The good news of the kingdom of God is that there is no need to be ashamed or boastful about what we have to offer. The good news is that we are received as we are. And we can then share what we have. I want to flip the parable around. The laborers expect scarcity. They expect a pecking order. They expect to be paid differently. And to their surprise, the economics they agreed to are wholly different than what they experienced or expected. In a world where we fear that everything is finite and scarce and limited, Jesus, the landowner, the kingdom of God, says, "We've got enough. Come on in." As we start to unlock the meaning of this parable, I'm mindful of other images Jesus uses throughout his stories, particularly how he uses stories of feasts, weddings, and parties in his examples. In the kingdom of God, we can envision Jesus or the landowner as a welcoming host, greeting each of us at the door, saying, "Oh, I'm so glad you're here. We've been waiting for you. Welcome." The kingdom of God is not capitalism. This parable makes that plain. In truth, the economics of God are wildly different than pretty much any financial system we have in modern or historic times. And so when we hear this story, it's jarring in the sense that we're not expecting this kind of end. You know what might happen after? Maybe the workers go on strike. Maybe they walk out because of how the landowner treats the late laborers. Maybe the farm fails. We don't really know. But that's where I think the real kicker of this message is. Regardless of how much time you've put in, regardless of skill or seniority, regardless of the tiny contribution or leadership role, regardless, the landowner offers each of the workers more than any compensation can match. The landowner offers grace. The true word about the kingdom of God here is that it is an offering of grace. And we need grace. Amen? Our world preaches scarcity, and it is so in need of grace. It's the landowner's words, "Can't I do with what I have as I please? Can't I be generous?" That's a grace. Not because any of these workers deserve it, not because they did the best job or brought in the most, but maybe the landowner knows that they've all got a family to go home and take care of. I hear echoes of that Deuteronomy text. One day's pay is one day's pay because it's enough to get by on. The landowner wants to offer a grace to anyone and everyone. Here is enough for today. Remember the manna and the quail? And remember how God provided abundant, yeasty, good things all over our world? Here is enough for today. And grace to us who never feel like we have enough or are enough. Grace to receive what we do not deserve, what we can never earn. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. Could we be a people who offer what we have to one another? Could we, instead of grumbling about not having enough, recognize that it is a grace others offer to us that makes up for what we lack? That we all get the day's pay, not because we're deserving, but because we are beloved. Grace leads to joy. I hope the workers came back the next day. I hope the ones from the afternoon show up and join with the morning crew. I hope they see that in each other, they are all able to make useful contributions, meaningful ways to serve. And I hope this for us. I hope that you can serve and give and receive in this community as much as you need. That you can give with great joy in serving. That you can give with great love and receive with great love. Not because you are privileged or deserve it, but because you are you. You are beloved. You are welcome in this kingdom. We need each other. May we find our way to contribute, to labor, to give, and to receive in loving community with one another for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.